come, check apologies, and then deal with the briefing by the DMV on progress on the presidential tasking on military veterans. And then four is the briefing by DMV on its responses on matters raised in the Auditor General's report on status of records review. Five is consideration and adoption of the revised committee program. And six is the consideration and adoption of the outstanding minutes. We have three sets of minutes that we must consider and adopt today. Colleagues, let me just welcome all of you to the meeting and say a special welcome to the new Director General who's joining us for the first time. And I really congratulate her on the appointment to head this important department. Important, the budget may not be that significant, but it is important for the role it plays in addressing the plight of the military veterans. And of course, they are their dependents. So that is that. And then, so I will introduce the team. Maybe let me do it as I'm doing it now. It's her. Director General Baldwin is the Chief Director of Research and Policy. Policy, Mr. Siengo, is Acting CFO, Ms. Kasamba, Acting Chief Director, Business Development and Empowerment, Matole, Director of Communication, Ms. Tukuda, Director of Planning, Mr. Rampele. So that constitutes the delegation on the side of the department. I'm not too sure if the minister is on the platform, the deputy minister or the minister or both are on the platform. Brian, may I get that indication?
Chair, I do not see them on the platform.
You do not see them on the platform. All right. All right, before I look, I turn to them for apologies. If there are any, let's start with the apologies from the members of the committee. Are there any apologies, Brian?
Chair, we have one apology from Ingosi Fabekul. He's attending the Portfolio Committee on Public Service.
But do you have a quorum?
Indeed, we do, Chair.
Okay. All right. So please record that apology. And may I check? May I check with, yes, who's Mr. Orson?
Yes, Chair. May I kindly be released for a 12 o'clock meeting? There's another meeting I need to add in Parliament, yes, at 12 o'clock.
Okay, no, it's fine. We will record that accordingly, Mr. Fossil. Thank you very much. Let me turn to the department just to check if there are any apologies on their side. Director General.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning to the members. From our side as DMV, the people that are supposed to attend are all here.
Thank you very much, DG.
Thank you.
Just to do a rear view, to present a rear view message or image recap on what we have been dealing with in the past few years. I now begin. The Department of Military Veterans plays an important role in reorganizing the sacrifices made by many military veterans to undo the injustices of apartheid and contribute to a free and democratic South Africa. The Department of Military Veterans also plays a key role on ensuring that military veterans in need are taken care of. Therefore, the department focuses on providing important services to deserving veterans, including housing, healthcare, social relief of distress grants, education, and employment opportunities, to name but a few. With this background highlighting the importance of the department in supporting veterans, the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Defence and Military Veterans has a responsibility to ensure that the department functions optimally. While some progress has been made, the department has struggled to become a coherent and well-functioning department that fulfills its mandate. During the 5th and 6th Parliaments, the committee has continuously been informed of poor audit outcomes by the Auditor General, pointing to serious management concerns. Most recently, on the 26th of May 2021, the AG informed the committee on its status of record review, which noted that no progress has been made in the department in relation to the following: 1, financial health; 2, financial management; 3, human resources management; 4, procurement and contract management; 5, IT management; 6, performance management; and 7, compliance management. Given these concerns, the committee welcomed the appointment of a presidential task team on military veterans under the leadership of the Deputy President. On the 19th May 2021, the task team updated the committee on its latest progress. The committee noted the progress made and scheduled today's follow-up meeting to track progress. Of specific importance to the committee based on its previous oversight work are the following. That is for you, Director General, to note. Finalization of a secure electronic database, which is a backbone to the services the department is providing. And 2, progress to ensure better health care of military veterans. 3, faster progress on housing and employment opportunities for military veterans. 4, organizational restructure to ensure an effective department. We picked up that there was a misalignment between the stated objectives as pronounced in policy and legislation and the organizational structure of the department. And then 5, consequence management narratives. The department for years has been failing on this aspect in particular, consequence management. People getting away with matters that they should have been held to account on. And hence, the challenges that were never ended in the department. Today's meeting will allow the committee to keep track of the progress made by the presidential task team to ensure an effective department. But I must add that we note what the presidential task team is doing, but the accounting officer remains accountable on the performance of the department. So whatever happens outside is just a support given to the department, but the department will still be held accountable. So we give them resources, both financial and of course other resources. So the meeting will also allow members to measure the progress against the shortcomings identified by the Office of Decision Maker. I thought I should just raise these a few matters as just to introduce the Director General to the matters that the committee has been dealing with over the period. I just want to add one point was on this DG, but we the committee asked me to write to the Minister of Defence, which I did, bringing some issues to her attention. I just want to cite a few issues. Some of them I've mentioned already. So the issues related, amongst others, to the numerous vacancies necessitating acting positions, especially that of the Director General and senior managers. We are happy that the position of the DG has been filled. That some were acting led to several critical funded posts being vacant. Three, the misalignment of skills and qualifications with incumbents. There was supposed to be a skills audit that was undertaken at huge cost, for which results have not been shared with us. The review of the outdated organogram, the verification of the qualification of all SMS managers, proper placement of all employees upon completion of verification process, and finalization of review of organogram to fill vacancies. And of course, finalizing the cleansing of the national database and considering of publishing it on the DMV website to ease, improve transparency and access. This we sent to the minister last year, in February. And I just want to indicate to you that the issues we are dealing with have a history, and a long history. They even predate the existence of this committee. So we expect you, DG, to hit the ground running. We can't postpone these matters any further. The military veterans out there are trying out for the services of which we have, actually promised them. Having said this, I hope I've summarized the issues for the honorable members, and I've summarized the issues, colleagues, just to introduce the Director General to some of them. Having said this, I now invite the DG to then brief us on the issues, the first item on the agenda. Over to you, Director General. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to the Chair, good morning to the members, good morning to DM and the DMV senior manager. And of course, the members in large.
Sorry, that is clever. I heard you citing DM as he joined us.
Issues that were making government not to
deliver welfare to military veterans as government had intended. That committee, of course, as members would be aware, it included the minister, the late minister, in the president, the Minister Jackson Mthembu, the Minister of Defense at the time, and of course, that is the office of the Minister of Defense, which will continue being part of the task team, and the Deputy Minister of Defense and Military Veteran. There were sessions of that task team that were joined by other ministers who are relevant to the challenges that the presidential task team is dealing with. However, we must point out that the participation of that of the other ministers has not been a consistent feature of the work of the presidential task team. They've come and gone on the basis of what they wanted to profile to the deputy president with respect to the responsibilities of the aligned function departments in relation to the needs of these military veterans that we must address. Having said that, I also want to profile the point that the presidential task team, as by now committee members will be aware, has established work streams to deal with the grievances of military veterans. The work streams that now exist under the presidential task team, there are about 11, if I am not making a mistake, 10, 11. The focus of these work streams are largely informed by the grievances that were contained in the memorandum presented to the president by the marshals who marched on the union buildings in November last year, 2020. It was on the basis of that memorandum that the marshals forwarded to the president that these work streams were established to look at those grievances as outlined in the memoranda. So that is the background of these work streams. But as members would have noted from the information shared, the work streams covered or they straddle all the areas that the oversight committee has been concerned about. The critical question which the portfolio committee must be aware preoccupied the presidential task team was to respond to a demand by military veterans who marched that they be given a once-off 4 million payout to each one of them. All people who were citizens, South Africans who were involved in the armed campaign against apartheid to bring an end to apartheid must be given 4 million rands as a once-off payment. And of course, there was a political rationale that they advanced why they believe that they are deserving of that kind of support. It was a very difficult matter to resolve, as the members of parliament would be aware that these marchers ended up staging a sit-in at the union buildings for days, demanding that they be paid before they can return back to their homes. It was a matter that took the presidential task team weeks to come to a determination that it was not possible. It was visually impossible to accede to. However, the need for the financial support just for the upkeep of these military veterans, because many of them are without jobs, was appreciated. And the presidential task team then prioritized the paying out or the introduction of what is there in the act, but not the being realized by the Department of Military Veterans, which is a military veterans pension, to make an intervention with Treasury that pension as a matter of policy should be expedited and be implemented immediately. That was the highlight of this presidential task team. In the order of priorities, if I may put it that way. But the other demand or grievances that were contained in the memorandum is work that will be reported upon by the DG in giving you an account of the latest around the presidential, I mean the work streams of the presidential task team. I must indicate to the portfolio committee that the work of the presidential task team is still ongoing. There are visits the presidential task team is undertaking to the provinces. Work has not been very smooth because ideally, at the beginning, the presidential task team's plan was to physically go to the provinces, the 9 provinces, meet with military veterans, brief them about this engagement that we have had with those who are representing them, meaning the marchers. But also, I must point out that the presidential task team, of course, ended up with a series of meetings with all military veterans associations without exception. And we felt that the provinces must be briefed about those engagements, but also have the opportunity to consolidate the solutions that the presidential task team had come up with by hearing more or listening to what the provincial government or the provincial department that are collaborating with DMV have to say by way of areas they believe we can handle differently in relation to the delivery modalities get that conversation going on. So we have visited several provinces, but this is virtual. The only province that was physically visited is Limpopo. Those visits, they are continuing and will be resumed with the availability of the deputy president now, as members will be aware that there was a moment when the deputy president's health did not permit him to continue with his office duties. I thought that I should make that comment before the DG takes over. I will, at the end of the presentation, highlight some of the issues which, in my view, or in the view of the ministry, let me put it that way, are policy matters that must be highlighted to the portfolio committee, which policy matters the presidential task team has dealt with. If I may, give an example, for instance, the issue on the means test. It's a policy matter which the presidential task team has intervened on, and I would also want the oversight committee to have a sense of what the presidential task team's intervention was with respect to that. As an example, Chair, through you. That having said, let me allow the DG to
come in and present the work of these work streams, and then I will come back with the comment at the end of the presentation. Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, DM. May I invite you back again to introduce the Director General, because it's appearing before us for the first time, DM.
Chair, thank you very much, and my apology. It is an omission on my part not to have introduced the DG. I assume that this is not the DG's first meeting. There are meetings I know that I missed, and it could be that that introduction was done already. The DG of the Department of Military Veterans is Mrs. Irene Mbolweni, appointed after a very long wait, as the honorable members are aware, to get the process of appointing the DG of the department concluded, which was successfully concluded, and the DG has been in office now over the last 3 months. Mrs. Mbolweni has experience in the responsibility that she has been assigned. She has been a head of a department twice in two different provinces, in the Northwest Province and the province of the Eastern Cape. So she comes into this responsibility with that background. She has been already on the road to help get the department's mandate, delivered, and with the assistance of the ministry, we are happy that this long-standing disadvantage that the department was without an accounting officer, fully appointed, has now been put paid to. The Chair has made mention about the other important vacancies at senior management level within the department that were a concern to the Oversight Committee. I must say that in relation to the DDGs, those posts were advertised. The shortlisting was in progress, and we are awaiting a report from the department on the shortlisting of the DDGs, the two DDGs of the department. But there is also an inclusion of 5 other senior SMS members of the department whose posts were advertised, and we're waiting for a report around those positions from the accounting officer, because they are appointments which falls within the authority delegated to the DG, to the Director General by the Minister. That's what I would say by way of introducing Mrs. Mbolweni, Chairperson, and Honourable Members. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, BM. And once again, I welcome the Deputy General, Mrs. Irene Mbolweni. Over to you, ma'am. Thank you so much. I will invite you to set your camera open. That is in the event the meeting's been covered live on one of our channels. Over to DG.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning to the Chair, and good morning to the members, and good morning to DM and the DMV senior management. I welcome the introduction by the Chair, and I welcome the introduction by the DM. Without wasting more time, I think I would like to start exactly on the whole issue of the work streams. That will be the presentation on page 3, where it describes the 7 work streams that were established: legislative review work stream, organizational design.
DM, I don't see the face. I don't want to pass you because I've not seen you. Now I can see it. Okay, just say those two things at the end. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair. Chair and the members, I was just indicating that our DM has made the introduction, and I would love to start exactly on the web streams that were established by the Presidential Task Team, which is on page 3. I want to start by the legislative review web stream, which was meant to look into the whole review of the Act and the policy of the department, which is of course the Act number 18, Military Veterans Act 18 of 2011. And it was meant to review all the benefits and all the areas that are within the Act, as we all know that the Act was established in almost 10 years ago. So that legislative review is in progress in terms of the work that they are doing. The departments that are involved is DMV, of course, as a department, is leading Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, DOD, and other departments that are related to legislative review, including DPSA. The second work stream that was established is the organizational redesign work stream, which is meant to align, as the chair has indicated, the departmental mandate and the organogram. The departments that are involved there is, of course, the DMV, DPSA, National Treasury, DOD, and other departments that are related in terms of organizational design that are assisting us. And the work that has been done to date, the department has done the work in terms of the organizational redesign and also has sent the work to the DPSA, and we were still awaiting the whole process that we need to do with the National Treasury in terms of costing the new legislation that will be passed during the new year in 2022. The next work stream was the socio-economic support work stream. The socio-economic support work stream is meant to facilitate the meaningful interaction with the social cluster and facilitate the identification of short to medium and long-term programs of government to benefit the military veterans, which would include issues of skills development, empowerment, job creation. It is quite a broader work stream, and it's supported by the department. Of course, National Treasury is involved, DMV, and of course, social development and other departments are also involved in this work stream. And also, it's got sub work streams as well. The other work stream that is involved is the database verification, the cleansing, and enhancement of the database, which is meant to develop a project plan for an accelerated completion of the verification process of the database. In this work stream, the work that is being done is also supported by the verification panel that was established and is under the leadership of former General Mashwale and the team that is got observers. Of course, some members that are sitting there is also the members of SAMBA and other associations who are observing the process. The other work stream that we're working on is the standardization work stream, which is meant to facilitate collaborative research of best practices with relevant countries around the matters of heritage and memorization of the liberation veterans. This work stream is involving DMV, Department of Arts and Culture, and various other departments that are related to best practices international, which involves DILCO. And this work stream is meant to assist us within the heritage sector of our department to ensure that the matters that are related to heritage are also addressed in a uniform manner, including the Department of Arts and Culture, so that there's no duplication in terms of work. The other work stream that was established was the work stream on pension and benefits. The work stream on pension and benefits include the following departments: the Government Pension the Government Pension Association Agency, the DMV, National Treasury, Social Development, and also it is meant to review and update the pension in terms of the DMV. There was a research that was done around 2014 by Alexander Forbes, which led also to some supporting information to assist the DMV in terms of reaching the quantum and also looking at the various amounts that need to be utilized to compensate the military veterans. The next work stream that was established is the communications work stream, which which was, of course, had to ensure that communication and engagement are harnessed effectively throughout the period of the presidential task team. The departments that are involved there is DMV and the Department of Communications, DCIS. And the last question that we have to look into is the whole issue of the land and agriculture work stream, which is also spearheaded by the Department of Agriculture, Forestry, Fisheries, and the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform for the provision and the land of, for the military veterans in our country. So that's basically the work streams that we are currently working on and their mandates. The progress to date, in terms of the work streams, some of the issues that were raised by the military veterans was the whole issue of their support that is needed in terms of provinces and their relationship, the relationship of the department and the provinces. Now, the process of conclusion of the memorandum of understanding between the DMV and all the provincial governments to ensure that the work that we are doing also is a fine expression in the provinces. The efforts of institutionalization, the relationship between the DMV and the three spheres of government, including state agencies, is going on and is led at a webstream level, at a sub-webstream level. To date, memorandum of understanding have been concluded with provincial governments of Gauteng, Eastern Cape, as well as a number of state-owned entities. Other departments, other provinces are still also following suit in terms of signing their MOUs with the DMV. Additional provinces such as Gauteng and Eastern Cape have already established military veterans help desks and have adopted programs of action as well as policies that seek to prioritize services that are provided for the military veterans. We are expecting that most of the provinces before the end of the financial year will be finished with their memorandum of understanding and established some desks and also some individuals that can be able to assist the military veterans from the offices of the premiers. The issues that were raised also was the issues of the education support, challenges around the education support in terms of payments and also in terms of the new applications, as the new applications were also put on hold, but currently payments of 2021 new applications are continuing. Beneficiaries of education support is also ongoing, as we are receiving invoices from institutions and are being paid by the department. In this area also, there's been an alignment that has been done with the skills development section to ensure that there's a synergy in terms of the work that we are providing as a department. Some provincial departments have already started to assist with bulk collection of invoices of learners supported by DMV. And of course, government housing province has led the way as DMV supports more learners from this province. We are also looking at utilizing our provincial coordinators to assist in this area and ensure that we get the necessary information on time to support the learners. Employment opportunities is another issue that was raised. Military veterans have been employed to assist in various areas. For example, in Gauteng, they also use military veterans in the COVID-19 pandemic interventions in schools. The model above is being proposed for implementation across all provinces so that military veterans are able to benefit in some of the programs that the government is running. The other matter that was raised, of course, the chair spoke and our DM spoke a lot around the issue of database, but I think what would be crucial for us for now is to ensure that we raise the fact that the process of the database is ongoing and the panel is also being directed to look into areas like KZN, where we have been having challenges of people who are not military veterans but have been evading some of the benefits that are meant for the military veterans. Hence an example of the Alu Ridge, an area that the people were non-military veterans were evading the houses that are meant for military veterans. So in the areas like KZN, we've got a lot of pressure, and the verification committee has been directed to go and assist there as well. Another area, I think our DM has spoken a lot around the issue of means test. Maybe just to add on to say that the issue of means test was raised by the military veterans, whereby they wanted that to be abolished. But the issue of the Act and the issue of the National Salary Act has indicated that we are unfortunately have to stay with the issue of the means test. In terms of looking at dispense issue that is under discussion, of course, but for now we are living and doing our benefit dispersing using the means test that has been established for us as a department. The other issue that was raised was the issue of restructuring of the DMV. Yes, indeed, there are some areas that need a lot of attention in terms of staff, in terms of filling of positions. And also we have been looking at the service delivery model that was refined and presented to DPSA as well. The finalization of the structure is dependent, of course, on the finalization of the amendment of the Act, whereby we'll have to align the structure with the Act for the implementation of the reviewed areas of the Act. And we have asked the services of GTEC to assist us in terms of costing the structure so that we can ensure that all the positions that are in the amended Act can be able to be filled. The other area that was raised was the area on the provision of health to the dependents of the military veterans. The work that has been underway there, the provision of health care to dependents is awaiting, of course, the review of the new legislation. This implementation is linked to the amendment of the Act and regulations. Comparative study will be done with defense and other institutions on how the health benefit is being presented. As we all know that the health benefit in the past was presented to all members of the SNDF and their families. So we are looking at how those have been structured in terms of beneficiaries. And the other area that was raised was the whole issue of the presidential pardon, which has a history indeed. This area has a history in terms of some of the military veterans that were prisoned under different areas, and they needed, especially in under the criminal records, from the process of the presidential pardon. The department with the files of those individuals who have applied for the presidential pardon, dating back from the era of the previous president of the Republic of South Africa. Furthermore, they were meant to solicit the list of individuals who are eligible for presidential pardon and reasons why, as well as to provide the list of individuals who should not be considered for the presidential pardon. This area is an area that is for the history and is currently an area that we have seek the assistance of the presidential of the presidential pardon. We also seek the assistance of the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development in this area. The other area that was raised was the whole issue around the housing. The housing delivery of the military veteran houses and rescue of distressed mortgage in ongoing under the current legislation and regulatory provisions. Today, the department has delivered in excess 1.7 houses nationally and settled more than 200 distressed mortgage bonds. The modality of the military veterans requested an increase in terms of the modality of square meters to 80 square meters, and so the proposals that will form part of the gazetting, although a risk has been highlighted that houses of military veterans should not be different from houses being offered to ordinary citizens, as evidence shows that it is one of the source of conflicts within the communities. The Department of Public Works and Infrastructure Houses. Government is assessing the inventory and the status of houses to confirm which houses might be available and their conditions to date. The other area, I'm on page 11, the other area that had to be looked into that was already raised by our DM is the area of the pension, which was the area that was left out in terms of implementation from the initial Act. And currently work has been underway in terms of the content of the policy, which has been finalized by the work stream. The policy was also consulted with the Department of Military Veterans. Some of the issues with respect to our legal services. The DMV database section has since provided the data file of the military veterans that would be able to be assisted in terms of the government pension to enable the determination of the number of possible military veterans that will benefit. Indeed, high-level budget implications have been done based on the information from the government pension agency. The work stream is currently working on the final details on the financial model and budget implications of the benefit. Preliminary work will be completed in August to allow for further engagement by the principals, the PTT, Minister of Defence and Military Veterans, and the Minister of Finance. That is with regards to the pension, and I think the M has alluded to the pension as well. The other area that was the issue that was raised was the whole area of the social relief of distress, military veterans. A decision was taken by Council of Defence to augment the unemployment grant of 350 by 850 for military veterans, totaling into 1.2. A total number of 982 military veterans are in payment to date. About 5.6 million has been spent on top up. 527 are from the non-statutory forces, while 455 is from the statutory members. Military veterans who do not qualify for the COVID grant, the PTT directed that these military veterans must be considered for the amount of 1.2 by the DMV within the budget. Subsequent to DMV received 1.2 applications, 614 of which have been verified by the UIF, which GIPA and the SAS has been engaged to do the final confirmation before the payment can be done. That is the verification that has to happen before the pay to avoid a double dipping. There are 221 potential beneficiaries while waiting for the SAS verification. I'm on page 12. Another letter on page 12. This is the process that we, have spoken about the social relief of the SAS. I'm on page 13. Page 13, this is a process that we are looking at in terms of taking the legislative bill to Parliament, and the internal process that we have done as a department, which is to consult internally and externally. The draft bill will be sent to DPMB for signing off of the initial certificate, incorporate public inputs, and finalize the bill for approval. This is the process that we are trying to map up towards going to the finalization of the approval of the bill in Parliament, so that we can be able to implement the majority of the benefits that have been linked with the bill. The progress today, in terms of the bill itself, I'm on page 14. Around the capacitation of the DMV, the Director General position has been filled. All vacancies will be filled by the end of November. I think we have got the presentation in relation of the outstanding positions and how they're going to be filled. Some of the positions, of course, have been advertised. We are looking at putting an advert of more other positions that are funded and vacant. In terms of empowerment and the skilling of military veterans, a model of empowerment is linked to government program of action, which is addressing infrastructure, agriculture, safety and security, poverty alleviation, business entrepreneurship and cooperatives, and the formation of cooperatives. Government, departments and provinces are beginning to report on interventions for military veterans. Provinces are continuously committing interventions set aside for military veterans and their dependents on training programs and training on security and various other skill development programs. Our provincial offices continuously advise military veterans on programs that are having an exit strategy. The provincial offices are being strengthened, and 8 administrators have been appointed to various offices since August. A citizen visited that some of the benefits, such as health, housing, and empowerment, will be decentralized. I'm on page 15 is basically a focus on the finalization of the amendment bill and how it should be going to different processes, including the gazetting of the bill, as it is in terms of the law. We have to take the bill towards a public opinion, and then the department will be following the same processes. On the last page, which is the proposed way forward, in terms of the process internally, engage with the executive authority, gazetting draft bill, engage the study group submitted to the clusters for discussion, table the draft bill at the Cabinet Technical Committee, table before Cabinet, engage with other related stakeholders in terms of the processes that we are going to move towards ensuring that the bill has been approved in Cabinet. I thank the Chairperson and I thank the members for the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DG, for your presentation. Certainly covers a number of areas that have been of great concern to the portfolio committee. I now open the floor for comments and questions by the members of the committee. I'm now looking to check if there are any hands already. Honourable Shelebe, you are the first to comment, and there's Jacob Mafanya as well, just the two colleagues. Honourable Shelebe, Honourable Mafanya, over to your colleagues in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, for an opportunity, to talk. Firstly, let me also
add,
Mr. Shelebe, I've not seen you for ages. If you may set your camera on, please, unless your network has some challenges.
Yeah, it's going to switch off because I'm on hotspot.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's fine. You may continue then.
Thank you very much for the presentation. But before I go to presentation, let me also be part of welcoming and expressing my happiness that we now have the fully functioning, director in the department. After a long time been struggling to have someone responsible. And two, thank you very much for the presentation, which is has shown what exactly need to be done in the department. Chairperson, with regard to the question, there's somewhere, the Deputy Minister, in his remarks, he was speaking about, the issue of, 4 million payout, former non-statutory force members, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just checking if, that 4 million is meant for individual, person, or is just, the budget for that. And going forward, Chairperson, I think the director has spoken about, the issue of houses for military veterans that are illegally occupied, as we previously complained about it as a committee. But he was very specific, referring to KZN. I don't know whether the director is in a position to highlight tell us exactly where are these houses in KZN, maybe if she's got an idea, so that, we know, where is this illegal occupation taking place. And I don't know whether when they are doing that, they will also look to the issue of, when the house is complete, so there is a name that is aligned to that house. How come that the person that is not, in the list is getting the house and we are saying illegal occupation? And, Chairperson, when it comes to the issue of, it's a big figure. I'm trying to figure out and to find out, because if there's about 1,700 houses nationally, I've asked that before, that maybe if we can know the allocation of these houses in accordance with the province, how are they, where are they, how many are there, which province is behind when it comes to the issue of these houses. Chairperson, I don't know whether the new director is aware that while we are trying to address the issue of amending the act of the military veterans, that some military veterans right now, it's very, very difficult to wait for the finalization of these amendment acts whilst they don't have any food on the plate. My concern, Chairperson, is that what plans does he have to ensure that those people who are now responsible to ensure that when applications are coming from these military veterans are attended as a matter of urgency. We can't afford, I mean, to say there are people who've been waiting now for more than a year without getting any response. Whether he is doing anything to look on those late applications that have not been attended by the department. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much. Let me take Honorable Bafanya.
Thank you very much, Chair. I welcome the new AG, Ms. Mpolwana. And we really appreciate the work of the presidential task team. But looking at where we come from, the presentation itself, it's more similar dating back to 2015, where the same issues were raised before, whereby we're still faced with the same presentation, though there are a few changes here and there. Now, the guarantees were we don't have timelines in all the presentations that we had that became a duplicate. We never had timelines whereby we say in 2 years a lot of ground could have been covered in terms of the military veterans needs. Now, my take is that there should be timelines so that we understand where we started and how we ended. Because some of the problems, you know, they've been quite for too long with us and they were never addressed. And now that we have the new AG, probably, we do not want to repeat the mistakes of the past. Number two, there was a point where with the former minister, where she says, as they have agreements, memorandum of agreements with the in public works. And I want to know how far are we with that and what were the contents of that agreement. The issue of that is work stream, 8 work streams, in particular on Department of Rural and Agriculture. There is a project called Kubatrala, where it was mentioned that the military veterans are going to work in that part of the world. And we hear nothing from that because there's land provided, there's machinery, equipment provided in that aspect. But the reality on the ground is that there's not much that is being given to us how far are we with the assistance of military veterans in that regard. So I would like to find out how far are we in terms of Project Kubatrala. And then on the issue of the presidential pardon, I believe it is the politic of the president, yes indeed. But here we are talking about political prisoners, unlike where we are talking about common criminals, in particular those who contributed. It might have been that most of them did not go to the TRC Truth Commission in that space. But the reality, taking into account the period that we have had our own political liberation, it leaves much to be desired on our part to say, while we still have people with criminal records that has not been expunged and being actually political prisoners. So the pressure on the part of the ministry to begin to assist in that regard, whether we have our own people, political prisoners, who contributed so much that they remain with a criminal record. And we know the danger of having a criminal record, there's nothing you can do. You can't even be employed in certain instances. So in that regard, I would like us to know how best can we expedite that process. Thank you very much.
Thank
Mr. Kwasi, you're next.
Thank you very much, Chair. Let me also follow through by congratulating the department for filling in the vacancies. But Chair, I would like to take you from what was said by Mr. Shelembe to say that maybe at some point we need a report that has a breakdown of the support given to provinces by the department. There should be a report that says to us, in Gauteng, in North West, or in each and every province, we had so many dependents, or we had so many dependents, yes, on our provincial database, and this much needed houses, and this much where the houses are located. And it must not also be on housing. Also on the educational support given to dependents of those military veterans, we must have a breakdown of to say we had so many people who applied for the support, so many were being able to be assisted. Because as the committee, we are most of the time at the constituency, and it is difficult for one to measure progress as we're sitting in the meeting and receiving reports vis-a-vis what is happening on the ground. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. I think let's concretize these two suggestions so that the department takes note of them. One is when Mafanya, Honorable Mafanya, says that the template, that matrix of things that the department is doing in the various or the streams the task teams are doing, they are not timelines. Where it is possible to attach timelines, please do so. Where it is not, obviously you'd explain why it's not possible for you to give us by when you hope to have concluded the task, so that we don't call you to appear before us on the work that is many months away from being completed. At least we can call you for progress, not to give us a finished product. So, but that will be guided by the timelines you attach to the program that you have developed for yourselves. Please and then send it back to us. And then the second one, it's the point that is making in support of the point that was raised by Mr. Shalem, that we have not been informed about is how many people in each provinces, so in each province or of the or in each of the provinces are you supporting with what? And so I think the way they are raising is to say, they're saying that if it is housing in KZN, we have so many military veterans that we have provided housing in Gauteng and so on, and for education we have so many in KZN, and for health we have so many in the provinces and so on. Right, so that at least we have that understanding that the services that the department is providing have a footprint dotted across the country. And so that's the minimum information that the colleagues are asking the department to finish us with. And as we plan again moving forward, we just indicate that in the next budget, this is how we distribute the services we are providing, and they pay our clients in the nine provinces. Province A, for these services, there are so many, and so on and so forth. I'm sure that is doable and is possible. It makes it easy for us to, oversee, to conduct our oversight on you, that indeed the money that we are giving you is finally reaching out to the people for whom the budget is made, to benefit. So that's the point that the colleagues are raising. So there being no any other hand, let me now invite the minister, the deputy minister, to comment, and then hand over to the DG for further replies.
Honorable chairperson and honorable members, once again, thank you for the privilege. The information around the work streams has been shared with the committee by the DG. What I wanted to do, I'm sorry, am I visible there? What I thought I should do, as I indicated earlier on, is to profile areas of this work that is done by these work streams that have policy implications that the members of parliament will assist to guide the department on. The first one is to say to the committee, the verification of military veterans, the cleaning and consolidation of the database of these military veterans has been a sore spot for a very long time. And as members are aware, there is no way the mandate of this department can be successfully delivered if those citizens that are considered to be deserving of the support are not isolated in a responsible way and in a way that the taxpayers can be happy that they are supporting people with the proper credentials. Now, work has started, the verification has started. We've had discussions with the chair of the verification to increase its capacity because there is a need for us to move fast. And the verification team has confirmed to us that we will be able to increase this capacity first by increasing the working hours and providing a budget for that, but also the number of people involved. Also including the equipment that they need. It is possible from what is agreed upon with the verification panel that we will have two teams of verification panelists that will take responsibility for this work. What has already emerged, which is a policy issue, is that a number of candidates who have appeared before the committee have said to the verification panel that they are, or they were members of self-defense structures in different communities. They are very upfront and clear that they are not military veterans. They are members of the self-defense units. And they want to be on the database, meaning they want to be assisted with the benefits and services that many dependents are getting. Cited off because the syndrome of people who are allegedly not military veterans, and the majority of whom are of a younger age cohort, has arisen in that they appear on the database of the department. They have certificates. They've been given certificates as military veterans. And it is one of the problems that have bedeviled the database of military veterans. So as part of cleaning the military veterans, that matter has to be addressed. We have members of self-defense. Our view in the ministry is that they do deserve politically some support by government for from a welfare point of view. But they are not military veterans. What do we do about them? It would appear that we have very little way out of this situation without taking the responsibility to agreeing to supporting them in some ways to some degree, which must still be, because we cannot say simply because they are deserving of support by government from a welfare point of view, because their lives were disrupted by the things they did, they are therefore military veterans. And they must be supported by government with the whole gambit of services and benefits that military veterans must get. Houses and taking their kids to school and all of those things. It is a policy matter which we have to respond to as a matter of agency, as part of the verification panel's work that is unfolding. The other matter, quickly, is to say that the memorandum of understanding that is talked about is to be a generic protocol of agreement with provinces that applies generally. It is not a memorandum of understanding which the intention of the PTT is to negotiate with each province. Matter of fact, when the president decided that there should be this task team, the first assignment of the task team was to take a meeting with all the premiers of the provinces, for the simple reason that a realization was there that to unlock delivery of the Department of Military Veterans primarily requires that we must make the department services to be accessible to these communities out there in the province. And the department's infrastructure resources budget to pay, you know, compensation of employees, but also to have offices and equipment, the budget is not there. So to deal with this stress that military veterans are under of not accessing this department, which only exists at national, in the national office in Pretoria, we must get the provinces to be involved, and that is to be a matter that gets, you know, formally and officially signed off at the Presidential Coordination Committee, where the president meets with the premier, so that it should be uniformly applied, this collaboration with the provinces across the board. The other point which I thought I should also raise is that the presidential testing is clear that some money has to be spent on these military veterans to relieve the pressure that they are under, over and above what has been allocated by Parliament to military veterans department. Because as you'd appreciate, for instance, pension, the military veterans pension is not budgeted for, is not a benefit that DMV would have been able to pay out.
Have I lost the DM?
Yeah, we lost.
It implies that the department's budget has to be augmented. That is the direction in which the PTT is moving in. I thought I should highlight this because the budget of the department is the responsibility of the portfolio committee. And you are the people who are tracking that aspect of the work of the DMV. The other matter to profile of that is there within the work of the work streams is the need for vital work to be done, especially by the work stream that is dealing with the delivery of social support. And here I'm talking housing, education, and health as an example. There is a need for these work streams of the PCT, and that is where value add will come from. It is important that those work streams must align, or if you like, they must harmonize the policy of DMV in relation to social support with the generic or mainstream policies of social support government has for indigent. Because, for instance, as you'd be aware, we're providing houses, but the houses military veterans are slightly above the ordinary RDP house. It's a deliberate policy intervention that we did. In relation to health, similarly, there is a need for provinces to discuss with DMV and agree about how health should be delivered to military veterans. Same thing in relation to education. The people who are getting bursaries from the Department of Military Veterans and the size of the bursaries that they've been getting is not what provincial governments are providing education support-wise. So those issues that speaks to the degree to which they will be, the policy will be varied in support of military veterans in the provinces and where it will be aligned with what the provincial departments are doing need to be still stressed out, and it is an important area as far as these work streams are concerned. The other one, of course, is with respect to economic sector departments. There is a work stream that is dealing with economic empowerment. That work stream has to push to make sure that those economic sector departments, whether we are talking agriculture, mining, and so on, that indicate to us a willingness to support military veterans. We need to have programs that this department designs that are military veteran specific, and the projects within those programs of those departments that are going to benefit military veterans. This is work that the portfolio committee, I would imagine, would begin to oversight and to get reports around. The means test has arisen, and I want to make members of parliament aware of the decision by the presidential task team to concede to the demand of military veterans that the means test must be abolished. But even as I say so, it is not like the ministry is not aware of the challenges that are going to be involved in removing the means test. Because the means test is very much in the way it stands in our policy, linked to the definition of a military veteran. The Act has defined a military veteran in very broad terms, with the view that the means test will then come in to isolate those military veterans who are deserving from those who are not deserving. So without a means test, and with the original definition in place, remaining in place, not amended, we are obviously going to have that challenge. It is, from what I can see, honorable members, a matter which we have to find a workable way around. And because military veterans are very adamant that they do not want to be misguided to access what they believe they are entitled to. They don't want to be mistested. It may compel us to go in the direction of, as far as policy concerned and the Act is concerned, to talk about the exclusionary or discriminatory process within our legislative provisions. That will be able to say military veterans are going to be supported with this benefit or that status. However, only military veterans who belong to this group or this cohort of military veterans will be entitled to that benefit or to that status. If we can go about things that way, if I may just give an example, for instance, housing, if we say housing is not a means tested benefit, but it is accessed on the basis of a discriminatory approach that only those who were not gainfully employed, meaning military veterans who come from the former non-statutory forces, will be given houses. In that way, it then deals with the need to isolate deserving military veterans to those we believe can, in relation to anyone, benefit, have their lives not disrupted if they are not supported. Last but one point is of policy is with respect to the presidential pardon and the expansion of criminal records. The department will come back, and I suggest that it comes back with a presentation that will, among others, make visible the policy aspects of these pardons and the expansion of criminal records that is talked about, so that as members of parliament, the oversight committee can know on what basis has this work been, you know, prosecuted, these presidential panelists, what is the policy there, what are the aspects that were taken into consideration in approving them. The last point was to say to the committee that indeed the time frames of the work of these work streams is a matter of concern. I must indicate that right from the beginning, the presidential task team, when it established the work streams, was never intending to have them as entities, as bodies that will be there for a prolonged period. We actually thought that all these work streams will finish their work within 6 months because they were never intended to be there as a part of the environment, of the machinery of delivery. They were there to assist the presidential task team quickly find solutions to these grievances as they appeared in the memorandum submitted by the military veterans who marched. So, at least with respect to that, the presidential task team directed that each one of the work streams must have milestones. It must establish and work out milestones that are going to be used to check progress in their work to the conclusion of the assignment that they have been given. And as I am saying, we thought that within 6 months, all these work streams will have accomplished their assignments. That we have not experienced that, it is important that the milestones should be very much, you know, made visible in the next presentation of the work of these work streams. What are the milestones? How far are they in relation to those milestones that will profile progress of the work that they are doing. Chair, thank you very much, and my apology for taking more of the committee's time, but I thought that those issues, we should make them, you know, visible for the oversight committee to be aware of them or to take note of them. Thank you very much.
Okay. No, thank you very much, DM. There is only one issue you did not cover. I think you mentioned it in your opening remarks. In fact, you did not say you actually used 1.4 and 4 million. That once off allocation. I think it was you meant to say 1.4 million military veteran as a once off, you know, grant or something.
No, sir, you're right. The question was raised by Mr. Shilembe again.
Yeah.
Yes. No, the 4 million was 4 million per member.
4 million per member?
Yes, 4 what? Million per member. Yes, they wanted to be given 4 million each. Not 4 million as a budget of the entire community of military veterans, 4 million each. And as I said, that matter kept the presidential task team very busy for weeks on end, but the conclusion, after everything had been assessed and evaluated and opinion solicited from the relevant departments of government, was clear that it was not possible to pay out that 4 million to each.
Okay.
There, there are questions that were raised by members as they were responding to the presentation. May I just leave those to the DG to deal with them, Chair, with your permission?
No, thank you very much, DM. DG, I think the DM has covered a lot of ground, a huge ground. Very few remaining for you to deal with. At least she dealt with matters that are policy in the May. Over to you, DG. DGS.
Thank you very much, Chair. I concur with you, Chair. I think what we need to do as a department is to provide the details as it was requested by the members in terms of the delivering of services, which provinces, how many people will affirm the presentation, and do it in that way. And also, secondly, the other area that we have to firm up in terms of the presidential presentation, the task team work, is also to affirm the area around the milestones and indicate time frames and basically ensure that the next presentation covers those areas. And then lastly, there was an issue that was raised in terms of the people who are invading houses, whether it was only in KZN. Indeed, Chairperson and the members, it's not only in KZN, this is affecting other provinces as well. But as it was indicated by the member, that we should bring the details and also the numbers of houses that have been done in terms of each and every province, and also give an explanation of how many have been given to who and the likes. We will definitely do that presentation. I felt that let me just say that and not take more time, as some of the things have been covered by our Deputy Minister. I thank you, Chair, and I thank the members and the team.
All right. Thank you very much, colleagues. I think we can now move to the next item. I think this item was thoroughly conversed. And so surely we will interact with it as soon as we have been favored with the time frames, so that we don't ask the department to give us so we are able to time a request for information in terms of the time frames that they are providing. Of course, when the time frames appear to be ridiculous, we will express that and ask them to review the time frames, because the matters we can't keep waiting for long, because they've been you know, waiting for the past, maybe in some cases since the department was established. So we just want to leave it at that for now. My colleagues on the note that they will come back to us on those, and we thank the DM on the grasp of the policy environment. You see, at least that would even make the review of policies even much more clearer, because it's when policies give certainty that it makes our job much easier to do. Our job easier to do as a portfolio committee. Now, I want to leave it at that for now. But DM, when you come at some point, but not now, maybe towards the end, you were in the media saying that the department has suspended four senior managers. It did not come up in the presentations, either from yourself or from the director general. Just to say it towards the end, because we are still together, even on the next item. Let's move then up to the next item. It's on the AG's status of review records. May I now invite the DG to take us through that item?
Thank you very much, Chair. We are going to be presenting to the Chair and the members the status of the records and the review by the AG of South Africa. I've got Zinhle Gasamba to take us through the presentation. Zinhle?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, members. Thank you, DM. Thank you, DG and colleagues. Good morning, everyone. My name is Zinhle Gasamba. I am the Acting Chief Financial Officer. I'll be taking the meeting through the status of records review based on the work that was done by the Auditor General during the audit of the 2021 financial year. Next slide, please. My presentation will cover mainly just the purpose, the outcomes, as well as the internal control environment, matters raised in the AG report on the status of records review, as well as the conclusion. The purpose mainly is to apprise the portfolio committee on the high-level results of matters contained in the AG SA report on the status of records review. We thought it was critical, Chairperson, that we just give a summary of the audit outcomes, as the commitments by the AG emanates from the work that is done on these outcomes. We want to indicate that in terms of the first quadrant there, we can see that the department for the past three financial years has consistently receiving at least unqualified audit opinions and findings. It is, however, our mission to move to unqualified audit opinion with no findings at all. If we move then to the second quadrant, wherein we are indicating the work that is done by various assurance providers, we can see that in terms of senior management, according to the AG, there's some limited assurance that is provided there in terms of the processes and the reporting of the department, accounting officer, as well as the observative authority. There's some assurance that is provided there, meaning that there is just slight room for improvement, as well as in the area of internal audit. For audit committee, the Auditor General is quite happy there, because it is their observation that there is adequate assurance that is provided in that area. If we move to quadrant three, which talks to the status of drivers of internal controls, we can see that there's quite a few areas wherein the intervention is required that covers the oversight responsibility, policies and procedures, the audit action plans, compliance, the monitoring, as well as the IT system. I think mainly those issues, I just want to indicate specifically for the policies, it's just a matter of, in some instances, we're taking longer to review our policies. So it's something that the department is working towards to ensure that, you know, such kind of things, they are avoided in the next audit. Some of the areas, you can see they are sitting at yellow. That indicates that they are of concern in terms of the agent's office, of which the department should put in systems to ensure that we improve in those areas. The area of risk management and audit committee, it remains green, meaning that there is some independent assurance that is provided there. However, there is a room for improvement in terms of now the assurance that is provided at the level of the first line of defense, which is management. In terms of the last quadrant, which is basically number four, the risk areas, the quality of the financial statements is good. The quality of performance information, it needs some intervention, meaning that it's an area of concern by the Auditor General, and the rest of the areas they are also of concern, but not as the case with the quality of submitted information, because there's more intervention that is required. As we can see in terms of the last one, that the root cause for all of these shortcomings is that there is slow response in terms of management putting the necessary remedial actions to address associated control deficiencies that are identified during the audit. And the last one is that there is a lack of consequence management in terms of you know, the transgressions by the officials in managing the funds within the department. Let's move to the next slide. This is just also an overview in terms of the audit reports of the audit general, that in terms of the current year's audit, we find ourselves sitting more findings than the previous years. The new findings, we're sitting at about 34. Management disagreements for the current year, we're sitting at least about 9 disagreements there. Matters affecting the audit report, we're sitting at 9 matters that are quite of concern to the AG, of which it's an improvement if you look at the matters that affect the audit report that we identified during the audit of 18-19 financial year. The management is cooperating in terms of providing the necessary responses to the AG. As we can see, we are consistently sitting at 0 there, meaning that all the management responses were provided to the AG. The recurring audit findings, we are sitting at 25, of which the better position compared to the previous years, Chairperson. And then the AG has been raising this issue, which is under the matters of emphasis, indicating that the department is a defendant in a contract cancellation lawsuit amounting to 189 million. The outcome was not clear at the time of the audit. So this is one matter that the AG has been emphasizing on over the past years. Please move to the next slide. In terms of the actual commitments now, which informs our status of records review, the AG has identified, I think, about 6 items, of which one is the area of enforcement of consequence management on identified cases of irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure incurred, as well as cases of fraud identified. Here, the department has done some work, Chairperson and the members, that there was some work that was also initiated by the former acting DG, Jerome Webby, wherein our Labour Relations Office was involved in terms of now implementing the recommendations as per the report or the determination work that was done by the DPME and National Treasury, wherein there were some recommendations that the department needed to implement. So out of that work, the department through our Labour Relations Office has issued about 16 letters in an effort to implement consequence management. However, the process was urgent to allow for intervention by the new DG to ensure that a comprehensive investigation is performed and finalized by the end of the financial year, because it was not clear as to the investigating team whether we'll be able to finalize all the cases by the end of the financial year, as the department, through the leadership of the new DG, is aiming to achieve a clean audit during the audit of the 2021-22 financial year. So it's one of the things that would prevent the department from attaining a clean audit if we are not adequately attending to issues of consequence management and conclude within the current year. And moving to the next one, the next commitment talks about the reliable and accurate asset register, of which I think the last update there was provided on the 6th of June, wherein we are indicating that the department has undertaken a verification exercise through the use of a service provider. Once the exercise is concluded, a clean asset register will be loaded on Logis to eliminate a manual system. So I think that is the status to date. Yes, and we are also indicating that the physical security of assets is being managed through a physical security services within the department. Move to the next slide. The third commitment there, it talks to the reliable and secure IT system, which will provide confidence on the military veterans database and business continuity. This is more of an IT-related concern from the AG, and we are considering that the department is in the process of upgrading its ICT infrastructure and environment, and this includes that we have developed the secure military veterans database through CETA, procured both the firewall and antivirus. In fact, the procurement is still underway. The request for CETA to facilitate procurement on behalf of the DMV were also finalized. And I think most importantly, the integrated database management system is going live for registration of military veterans on the database by the 1st of October 2021, of which that is a great stride that the department has achieved. Looking at commitment number four, formalization of key policies, mainly in the segment. Next slide, please. In the last slide, it talks to encourage the DMV, which will proactively assist the department in ensuring continuous acknowledges that we do not have compliance management units. We actually do have a compliance management unit whose role is to develop a compliance universe for the department. The department does not have a compliance management system, but depends on manual documentation. And I also want to indicate that an official that was running the unit has indicated earlier that we have challenges in terms of our compliance management unit, has resigned and left the department, and that position was advertised in April. However, it has not yet been filled. So it's an area that the department is prioritizing to ensure that that position is filled, so that we can ensure that the department monitors compliance with the applicable laws, rules and regulations. And lastly, we are also expected to provide reliable and validated reports, including the portfolio of evidence. Here we are indicating that we will ensure that the portfolio of evidence is validated prior to submission to the inter audit and the auditor general, and that there's alignment of submitted performance information with evidence as required in terms of the technical indicators descriptions. There's also departmental reporting guidelines which are issued every year, wherein you know, they also take into account the submission dates as well as make a provision for quality review of that information. So if we are following the guidelines, it will improve the quality of information and evidence that is provided to AG for audit purposes. I think that basically brings us to the end of our presentation. In fact, it's important for me to indicate that the branches were directed to update the audit action plan in response to the audit outcomes. We do have the audit action plans, you know, as a department. So it is critical that after every audit, they are updated so that they reflect the latest audit results. And also the UDG has issued letters to the branches to ensure that officials responsible for the findings are held accountable, and that branches as units must ensure that all the findings are addressed by the 31st of December 2021. This is in the effort of the department to work towards the clean audit outcome. I think that's all, Chairperson. I thank you. Thank you.
Okay. You know, thank you very much. We have not had this in mind. We've been looking for this information. You know, it left me wondering, actually, I should be the other, but the baby that DM. I mean, it's news. I mean, everything you are saying. In the two presentations, these two presentations, if they appear to be addressing most of the issues we've been complaining about for 2 years, full 2 years. And that at some point it appeared as if we were actually moving in circles and we're not making any progress. And I don't know whether there was a go slow or there was resistance to changes. And I don't know, but now things appear to be doable. It means that they were doable even then. Colleagues, I can't help it but to just lament that only now we appear to be doing something, or the department appears to be doing something. Colleagues, I'm now opening the platform for discussion. I don't see any hand. Honorable Bikas, your two colleagues.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'm sharing the same sentiment with what you have it is giving us that there is an action in the department that will be able, to follow from now, because we have been talking about that if there are no time frames on what will be happening when, Chairperson, it becomes very, very difficult now, to follow up. But with that presentation, especially, even the last one, the way I'm looking at, one is going to be able now to ensure that, we follow up. And this, will benefit not only the committee, but those people, who have been suffering because of the failure of the department to comply with the relevant legislation, will now going to be able to benefit from what I've learned today. We need to look, if, say, the department, did not have what you call, the compliance management system, but they did, ask the state, say, from 2016 to date, there was nothing, but it's promising now. Let me hope now that maybe that program will be in place soon, and then we'll be able, to manage. Chairperson, in short, I'm convinced, and I think if we can go that way, we'll be all right. But also, I'm worried now. Why? There was that, sort of a ghost law or sort of non-compliance to legislations. Is it because maybe there were no action taken to officials who were, not doing their work properly? But let me leave it there, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation.
Yes, thank you very much, Ms. Pickers.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to acknowledge the presentation and the improvements on some findings, but I think there's still a lot to be done. Then, Chairperson, I'm not sure on the slide of audit findings, the number of management responses shows zero. I just need a clarification on that one, or explanation, what does it mean? That's zero throughout the year. Then, Chair, my first question is on the assets. The department undertook an asset verification exercise through the usage of an external service provider. I want to know, Chair, why was there a need to use an external service provider person? What was the cause of that exercise whilst we have officials in that unit? Is it a lack of human capacity, or is it just capacity in general? And Chair, if it is capacity in general, was there process of consequences to those who failed to do their work? Then, Chair, the second one is on the consequence management enforcement. They appoint an investigation team. I want to know, was it an external team? And what is the work already done? Because they suspend, they adjourn now for the intervention of the new DG. So what was the work already done of that team? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Ms. Peters. Let me just check if any more hands. All right. Doesn't look like. Colleagues, thank you very much for this. Judging by the number of questions, it's clear to me that you are making some progress. Let's deal with those that have been raised. DM, I don't know if you want to start, but just before the DM or the DG comes in, I just want to say, DG, please review the report on the skills audit, the consultant, the work that was done by the consultant, that we have not seen any results. In actual fact, the consultant abandoned the work after the department had paid him or her every single cent, or rather after the department had paid him or her for the work, for a complete product. We did not get the complete product. In other words, we paid for the services that we did not, that the department pays for the services that it did not receive. Look at that and check if the consequence management in relation thereof have actually been done. We're not going to have that issue on the agenda now, but I'm just putting you on notice that we will be calling you up to take us, to address us on that aspect. It remains outstanding on our agenda. DM, you may want to say a few words before we invite the PG to do operational issues.
No, Chair and Honorable Committee members, again, thank you for the opportunity. With respect to this report, the AG's report, I do want to indicate that we had the privilege of taking a meeting with the Auditor General. Very same report, they presented it to the ministry. And we followed this matter up as the department was having its strategic planning session last week. We highlighted it as one of the important aspects of their work to make sure that the audit action plan is part of the programmatic work that was being elaborated for each one of the programs or in each one of the programs of the department. For me, what is important is the concluding remarks made in this presentation that the Director General has issued letters to branch heads to ensure that all officials responsible for AG, for the AG's findings are held accountable and that the branches must ensure that all findings are addressed by end of this calendar year on the 31st of December. I think that's what is important. We will, from the side of the ministry, help to monitor the execution of the audit action plan that was revised, as the presenter was saying, at the strat plan last week. Of course, the audit shows what we've all been aware of and concerned about, which is that the underspending in the department has been, you know, in a very concerning way within the program socio-economic support. It is in the area where more delivery should have happened, where we have actually spent less than what was projected. And the honorable members, of course, will take note of the reality that this underspending happens in spite of the department having been denied millions with the adjustments that were made, with the cut that was effected on the budget of the department. Still, even after that cut, the department could not spend all its monies. It is a matter of concern. And I am just making a point which I know that the honorable members would have picked up from this report. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, DM. DJ?
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. The area that have been raised in relation to the issue of management of consequences within the department. The AG report over the period of years, the Public Service Commission's questions on reports of consequence management from the department were raised upon us as a department. And the response that we gave to the Public Service Commission, of course, were not satisfactory when they were asking us about the irregular expenditure of 119 million and wasteful expenditure of 5 million. These reports that the AG presented to us brought to our attention the challenges that the department had in terms of financial controls. As a result, amongst other things that the members have raised, asset management companies that were appointed and not finishing the work, which I on my arrival, I had questions in relation to that. a company that was also appointed in terms of the ARS that also did not finish the work, including the skills audit company also that did not finish the work that it was appointed for. It's amongst the things that are currently being investigated, and in terms of governance and financial mismanagement, which resulted into four senior management that had to be suspended for further investigation. Indeed, it is correct to say that there was some work that was done by the department appointing labor relations officers from the other departments, but that work would have not been finished on time in terms of their capacity, because those labor relations managers are working in their departments as well. Hence, we came to a conclusion that a further comprehensive investigation must be done on these matters and other matters, of course, that were also raised during the AG findings. These four senior managers that had to be suspended is the DDG within the branch, Skills Development and Empowerment, which is a service delivery branch, which was also highlighted with a zero performance over the period of the three-year analysis by the AG. So it's one DDG, three chief directors, chief director, skills development, chief director, provincial coordination, and the chief director, which is the CFO. All four were suspended in relation to the matters that have been raised by the members. I said, let me indicate to the members that a further comprehensive investigation will be happening, is underway, and in terms of the reports, it's then that we'll be able to get comprehensive reports on what exactly has been happening. But from what we have analyzed and assessed between myself, of course, and the DM, we felt that the issues are quite in-depth. They need a lot of in-depth investigations, not necessarily to focus on the departmental ones alone. Hence, the committee and the members have to be appraised on the further reports as they will be unfolding in the due course. It is also important to note, I think the member has indicated why would we have an asset verification when what is happening to the officials. Indeed, Chairperson, we want to strengthen the asset management from inside as we are moving forward. And most of the money that has been listed as irregular has been spent mostly on these consultants, and that money has not reached the hands of the military veterans to improve their lives. So I just wanted to concur with the fact that the member has raised in terms of the companies. And also the department is quite small in budget, and then it might not need a huge company to come and do verification for assets. I indeed concur with the member. Going forward, we will mostly do the work internally and save most of the money for our beneficiaries. I would then go further and indicate that the issue of consequence management has been addressed to date, and it will definitely be continuing, as the report indicates that the findings that we found this year, we want to ensure that those disciplinary sessions are set up and finalized by the end of the year, so that we don't have recurring findings going forward, as we are looking towards a clean audit for the next financial year. In relation to the question that was asked around whether there were no management responses where it says 00 under AG, the green indicates that there's been support in terms of responses by management, and that is the green that is showing in that table, which says 2018. We might have had shortcomings in some of the areas, as it's showing in some of the years, but there's a difference between 2018-19 and 2020-21 in terms of us responding as a department. It has been much more better than the previous years. Chairperson and the members, in terms of the questions that were raised, I would like to end there and indicate that progressive reports will definitely be forwarded to the Deputy Minister in terms of the progress on the consequence management process that is happening. Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the members.
Thank you very much, DG. Tell me, DG, before I let you off, 198 million rand litigation on the cancelled contract. What was that consult about? That contract about?
The chair and the members, on my arrival, I also questioned this when it was raised by the auditors. Apparently, there was a company that was appointed to deal with health issues of military veterans, and the company was irregularly appointed, and then it took us the organization to court. And as I indicated, that most of the irregular expenditure in the department has been more or less in areas of this nature, and we are currently defending the matter on behalf of the department.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sure next time they'll give us more details on it, because it's money we are defending in court when the department did not receive a service. I want to believe that. Colleagues, let's leave it at that for now, and it remains for me to thank the DM and the departmental officials for the engagement this morning. It certainly gives a breath of give me a breath of fresh air. I think we needed the department to appoint the director general. You know, having people acting and all that for many years. So it meant that the things, the decisions that those people could not take. Whereas when there were other senior posts filled on an acting basis, again, those acting were not taking decisions, and their positions were not filled, remained vacant for a very long time. So that plunged the department into the crisis that it found itself in. And see, it means that I'm happy that we are now addressing that we've addressed the problem, and we are starting to address some of the major issues that have haunted the department for all these years, and delayed it in meeting its objectives and deliver on its commitments to the military veterans. Thank you very much, DM. Thank you very much,
Chairperson.
Yes, DM.
Listen, I'm sorry, Chairperson, and to come in when we have already concluded our business. The remarks I was making earlier on were really strictly confined to the AG's report. I did not do what the chair had asked me to do, because I thought I would do that at the end, as you asked me to speak to this point, which the DG has already now covered in relation to the media briefing that we had in relation to suspensions that have occurred within the department. But the details is as the DG has shared with the members of the committee. All I can add is that the oversight committee is correct to note this development and with concern, because the DMV is a small department indeed, and to have four senior managers suspended at a time is, quite a radical, intervention. As the DG has pointed out, it has included that intervention, the suspension of the only DDG who is there in the department, the CFO of the department, and Chief Directors General.
So it is a development we are wanting to expedite so that the issues are resolved quickly. You would have picked it up that in the statement that was released, we committed to dealing with this matter within the stipulated 60 days and not more, to put all of these matters to rest. The press conference, of course, we convened it on the back of a meeting we took with the Public Service Commission. The Public Service Commission had sent correspondence to the DG's office lamenting the fact that the 2019-2020 report of the department with respect to measures taken against employees that have committed irregular, fruitless, wasteful, and unauthorized expenditure. Those measures were not visible. The information was not there in the report of the department to show, rather to indicate that the steps had been taken or steps were going to be taken. And these were matters that the Public Service Commission was concerned that were recurring. And we felt that a full sitting should be arranged for with the Public Service Commission so that we can, as the ministry, have a full appreciation of the information that they have. Because when we looked at the letter, simply from the simple information provided there, we could not get the full understanding of what the legacy issues were that the Public Service Commission was concerned about. So I can say to the Oversight Committee of Parliament that the Public Service Commission is happy with the willingness by the department to put ourselves on terms and to come back with the information that they want, the picture that they want to see in the Department of Military Veterans within the time frames that they were agreed to. And of course, that information will be provided according to the format that they expect the department, like all other departments, to present their information along. So that is what I thought I should mention to confirm that indeed there are these measures that were taken, but we hope to expedite this, you know, consequence management intervention. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM. DM and DJ and Kim, you are now free to leave now that we have exhausted all the issues that we have actually invited you to address us on. Thank you very much for taking your time out of your schedule. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you, DM. All right, colleagues, can we now quickly move to the next item? Brian, may you reflect the what I'm fighting is the agenda, is the program.
The program.
Yes. For the term. All right, please do. Is the first.
Right.
So then next week is the 8th. So is a briefing by the DM, DOD. And the arms quite DOD and the future of the NAP and the impact on the
Thank you.
responded to what I think it was.
That is correct, sir.
You have circulated it.
And not yet, sir. We were not. You had requested that we would deal with that item when Cobra said that next week we're supposed to undertake the oversight. Now that was not allowed for by the office of the House as well as the Whip. Now we were proposing this item for next week in order to replace that oversight. Now this is wholly dependent on whether the department will be able to make it, considering that it is short notice because we're supposed to undertake the oversight. Especially
now, this is what presented to us on Friday. Obviously, both of these are concluded for next week. Then, obviously, to our program going forward.
You know, Mr. Mara is making a good point, Brian. Is it possible that instead of inviting these colleagues to address us on these two items on short notice, I don't want them to have excuses that they didn't have sufficient time to prepare for us. That instead of them, that we invite those that we're going to meet out there during the oversight. I know some, it was more about seeing, but there are cases where they were going to receive a briefing. I currently have one or two or three of those coming virtually, Brian.
We can request that,
because those are ready, they're ready for us anyway. All right. So it's fine. So let's have that on the 8th and then find a new slot for these two items so that we give them sufficient time, especially DPE. DPE must come. Dinelle is the weakest link.
I fully agree with you and support you in that wholeheartedly.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Let the 15th, let's look at the 15th, colleagues. Update by the DMV on cases of irregular expenditure or irregular investment expenditure, as well as fraud cases. Briefing by DMV, anxious telling to ensure DMV is more responsive to queries. To queries and complaints by military veterans and dependents and MPs expressed by, okay, and so it's just a follow-up meeting, all right? Then briefing by National Treasury on and DOD on the funding of an exit mechanism and other means to contain the DOD COE expenditure to funding of additional border safeguarding initiatives, three initiative funding models, alternative funding models to keep the, okay. B, SNDF on human resource requirements amid current fiscal and how force design and force structure may need to be adjusted according to the minister's statement. Strategically, we have now transitioned from being money driven to okay. And then lastly, his briefing by the chief and CJOP on the situation along the borders and the consideration. And then that week of the 5th, briefing by the AG. So we start the budget, briefing by the AG on all the entities, focusing on the audit outcomes of the financial year 2021. And then immediately thereafter, we take a briefing by AMSCO on the annual report. And then we consider the adopted minutes. And then the 6th is a briefing by DOD on its annual report. And then thereafter, a briefing by AMSCO's annual report. And then on the 7th is a briefing by DMV on its annual report. And then the briefing by the DOD Inspector General on all cases of irregular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. And in other words, we are inviting them back again. Now with that added column that explains what has happened since the last time they presented to us. And then the 13th of October is a briefing by the ministerial team on its findings in relation to the procurement of the interferon. Then two, we consider and adopt the B2R, and then we deal with the minutes, and then we consider and adopt the fourth term program. Colleagues, I saw submit. Can you comment on this? Can I see hands?
Chairman, from my side, I mean, all of those matters are important for us. It's things that we have to deal with from our oversight responsibility. So I've got no problems with that. I must just admit that I have not checked whether we have now covered all the aspects that we were supposed to deal with next week. One of that would have been the meeting with the minister, the one-on-one kind of closed session meeting with the minister. I know that that is probably best to do it in Pretoria during an oversight. What is now the indication of possible oversight, and when is the Parliament providing for the opportunity for those oversight? Will it only be in the fourth quarter, or will there be an opportunity now that you know, we've got this extended third term you know, period until the 13th of October?
Yes, you are right. I'm in discussion with the chair of chairs on the oversight, and so I think he is willing to have the program reinstated. But we must find another date, a new date for the oversight. As long as it does not coincide with the plenary, and again, right, we must also avoid Monday, so that the chief whips of different parties don't accuse us of utilizing their day, which is a Monday. So if we can take any of those days, but in doing so we avoid clashes and with committees and plenars, I think he is willing to respond positively to this.
You must tell him we're a busy committee doing our work.
Yes, yes. No. He is very supportive of this committee, to be honest. If there's any committee that he is very supportive of, this is Chair. There's no doubt about it. Sorry, Mr. Barrett, there's no doubt about it. My colleagues, do you support this program? Tabu. Honorable Tabu Moses?
Thank you, Chair. I just have a concern.
What are you?
I'm in the village.
He's in a village,
but he's got reception there. But when Honorable Shilembe goes to the villages, he's got no reception. He must go to the mountains. So, you know, how does this work now?
My
village is much better than the villages in the mountains in KZN. Thanks, Chair. On a lighter note, I don't have a problem necessarily with the program. I just want to get clarity with regard to the oversight that we will conduct, because we have not included in our program the briefing by the state of affairs in relation to various services within the army. It's been some time since we have met with the chiefs. In fact, we have not had a meeting with the newly appointed chiefs of service of arms within the FANDAP. I think that should be considered, and if we are not going to meet with them during the oversight, we must see how we put that into the program. It might be for the next term, but that should be considered. Thank you very much.
No, Thabo is right. The last time we had the meeting with them, you know, leading briefing us, really, we were, our meeting dedicated to one at a time. We received valuable information. I think, Brian, can you consider fitting that in? You see, again, it's one meeting we would prefer to have physically rather than virtually. I don't know. So maybe here in Cape Town, we ask them to come down and brief them one by one. In that way, it's going to be, we will not have to ask, you know, we will use it on other days, as long as it doesn't conflict with other programs. Brian, please consider that.
Okay, Chair.
Yeah. You see, colleagues, are you happy with this program? You can see these are not new issues. The week in October is mainly budget and the BRRR, and then the week X in September are mainly matters that we have been grappling with as a committee. So those are follow-up matters. Supported.
Yeah, this one is supported, Chair.
Thank you so much, Carlo. Colleagues, thank you very much. With that, can we then move to the minutes? All right. So these are minutes of the 2nd of June. It was a briefing by the chief logistics on various challenges within that supply chain environment, and the DOD's responses on the status of records review. All right, so this is the attendance of officials. So these were the issues. Okay. Continue. Right. All right. Colleagues, are there any, continue to the last page, Brian? Okay, the resolution of the committee. The committee agreed that the president's defense move was done by the chief of logistics, who stand down to the rescue to take the later date where the chief of logistics should be present to account to the committee. The committee agreed that the powers conferred by the PFMA as well as treasury guidelines on the accounting office should be sufficient for SEDOF to deal with instances of irregular expenditure. Where this proved insufficient, the amendment of the defense can be considered but should be the last resort. The committee agreed that the DOD should devise mechanism in order for the SEDOF to exercise more control over the uniform members, especially on matters related to financial accounting. Right, I think that summarizes the issues very well. Colleagues, are there any corrections you want to introduce? All right. There being none, can I get a mover and a seconder?
I so move.
Mr. Mare moves.
Second that.
Mr. Mike, Honorable Mr. Seconds. Can I get to the next minute? The minutes are adopted. All right. So minutes of the 18th of August. Tabo, you were in the chair. And then it was Bukas, Kambati said Bukas. So these are the issues, consideration and adoption of the revised program. So we're briefing DOD on the fourth quarter, right? Go up. Right, go up. Go up. Right, go up. Go up. Go up. Go up. And then these are the resolutions. All right. Colleagues, the committee agreed that the proposed oversight visit to the DOD headquarters, etc., from the 6th, should take place from the 6th, and that the meeting on the 8th should be incorporated during the visit. The committee agreed that the DOD must supply the committee with information on the available funding obligation of the DOD for projects, bureau, and the hotel over the medium term in writing. The committee agreed that the newly appointed Director General should investigate their responsiveness within the DOD, so the DMV, DMV regarding complaints and inquiries by military veterans and even MPs, and should report back to the committee on this issue. The report should also provide mechanism to introduce to deal with the inefficient service and turnaround times by the administration. All right, so these are the minutes. Colleagues, are there any corrections you want to introduce? There being none. Is there any, can I get a mover and a seconder?
I move for the adoption, Chair.
Comrade, Honorable Thabo Mokgwa moves.
And this comrade, and this comrade,
Comrade, my seconds. All right, thank you very much, colleagues. The meeting, the minutes are adopted. Can you move to the last set? Right, minutes of the 25th of August. It was the presentation by the ministerial task team on its findings in relation to the procurement of the heparin medication, feedback by SAHPRA, feedback by AXA, Auditor General,
the briefing by the Inspector General on and the military police. All these issues are coming back. They are there on the program. All right. So this was the attendance. Thank you. All right. This was the presentation on the interferon by the ministerial task team, even though it was not there. Go up. There was an input by the minister, go up, and the deliberations, and go up, and the presentation by the Inspector General and the military police on the fraud cases, go up, deliberations and the resolution of the committee. The committee resolved to grant the minister's request that the military task team be allowed to finalize its report and report and table it between the minister. The committee will schedule the report back from the minister after 3 weeks. They are on the agenda or the program. The committee resolved that the findings of the report should be followed by requisite consequence management actions against those who are found to have acted inappropriately. The committee resolved to call on the DOD to further present on the cases of illegal expenditure. The presentation also covered new cases, the commencement date of cases, as well as progress to the date and indicate whether there are persons on paid suspension and how long have they been on suspension. I think it captures the issues well. Colleagues, are there any corrections you want to introduce? All right, there being none.
No, Chair, I don't have any corrections. I've just picked up from our program that I'm not sure whether the minister will provide us the feedback within 3 weeks, because the program doesn't provide for that feedback from the minister. Because that is in 2 weeks' time that the minister must provide us, but I don't think that's part of our program. So with that qualification, I will propose for acceptance.
Your observations are correct, Mr. Murray. I couldn't find time within 3 weeks. It's in the fifth week. It's on the third week, a month later.
It's only on the 13th of October.
Exactly, Mr. Mathers. It's there, 13th of October. At least it gives them ample time to look at the issues and prepare for our submission. It's not really within 3 weeks, but it's just so they have. All right. So are you okay?
Yeah. I mean, this is the minutes, and I'm happy with the minutes. Thank you very much. I propose, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Murray proposes?
Mafanya seconds.
Mr. Mafanya seconds. Colleagues, thank you very much. The minutes are adopted. Is there any other issue, Mr. Manji?
We are fine, sir. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much. Colleagues, thank you very much for your time. And already 15 minutes to 1 o'clock. All right, thank you. And the meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you.